So we have Christina Sansa back in the studio again.
Hi, I am
Christina.
Back.
Yes, you're back, but this time armed with your axe. You ever call it your axe?
No, I don't, but maybe I should start doing that.
Some people call their guitars their axe. And you've generously agreed to put yourself in the spotlight and on the spot. And
reluctantly,
We've twisted both of your arms to come in and play us a few tunes. We discovered that you are a singer-songwriter and you have your own guitar.
Indeed, I do.
And so through much coercion and arm twisting, you've come into the studio to serenade us, hopefully, and to give us a sampling of some of your cover tunes. And also, maybe if we talk nicely to you and we twist a little harder, you'll play one of your original tunes.
I'm hoping that's the case if I don't collapse. But yes, as I mentioned. But
so before we get you to strum the guitar, there, tell us a little bit about how long you've been playing, when you first started learning the guitar and singing. And
I guess it's kind of an interesting story. It actually, I guess, unlike most people, I would say, or most musicians that I've gotten to know throughout my journalism career, I actually started out songwriting first.
Really?
Yeah. When I was about 5 or 6, I would often have these melodies in my head. Sometimes they would be based off of tunes that I already knew and sort of combined with something else. Anyway, and I would sit down and sort of say lyrics, just kind of out with the tune that I had in my head.
And at what age are we talking here?
I was probably about 5 or 6,
really?
Yeah. And
wow.
It got to a point. Yeah, well, probably when I was about 7 or 8, I actually started writing them down because I thought, you know, maybe there's something to this. And I actually have, I think, like 50 some odd songs. All of them are bad. But sitting in my room underneath my bed at home, loose leaf upon loose leaf of just lyrics of songs that I wrote when I was a kid. And you can see my writing, half of it is spelt wrong. Like, it's just, it's pretty intense. I should probably bring some into the office to show people, but
I would love to see that, actually.
Yeah, and eventually what had happened is I would come up with 12 songs because I had this impression that a standard album had 12 songs. So I would put together albums and actually create, like, little booklets with artwork and stuff. So
my goodness.
I was quite a creative child. But yeah, I didn't know any instruments. I wasn't doing vocal training at the time. But then my mom, I guess, sort of clued in, and she sort of thought, you know, this girl kind of likes music, like, and she enrolled me into guitar lessons, which I ended up actually quitting a few months later because I wasn't feeling it. I was being taught things that I didn't really want to know. Like I've mentioned to you outside the studio, like, guitar for me is more of a support system. It's more something that I use to just help me play and help me write, as opposed to, you know, I'm not trying to be some lead Jimi Hendrix over here. So I would love to. It would be a lot of fun to learn that kind of stuff. But I'm definitely more of a songwriter at heart, I would say. And then because I quit that, she was like, you need to do something. So I started taking up vocal lessons. Mm. And I was about 11 at the time. And I actually just recently stopped doing it. I was probably about 19. Mm. Once I got into university, just because my life just got really busy and I didn't have as much time to devote to it. And it was, I guess, a bit on the expensive side. So
But that's quite a stretch of vocal training, almost 10 years worth.
It was quite a while. Yeah. And my coach and I, Paula, shout out to her. She was amazing. I mean, I had several coaches throughout the career, I guess, if you want to put it that way. Mm. But she was there for the bulk of it, I would say a good 8 some odd years. So I really loved her, and she had a gospel and jazz roots. So I kind of implemented that into my singing, and that was always something that was really dear to me. And the pop as well, we did a lot of pop stuff. So
I've always heard that from many people that taking vocal lessons, there's always a really strong psychological component to it.
Mm-hmm.
That a good coach will build you up, not only vocally and teaching you some discipline and exercises, I guess, mm-hmm. and finding your true range and all that kind of thing, but also attitude and things. Was that a part of your
super
of your training?
Yeah, super important for me, just because I'm such a shy performer. It's not something, I mean, I tell people that I sing and I write and stuff, but it's more, I refer to myself as a closet musician, jokingly, but it's quite true, because I'm just so shy, and it just makes me so vulnerable that I'm not, you know, super confident, I guess, in performing. And she definitely helped me with that. And she put me out there when I was doing lessons. Like, we would do shows. There was a few sidewalk sales where we performed at, sort of like busking on the side. She's like, you have to do this. We have to go to the metros. We have to
getting some exposure to
you know,
up a
and
bit.
That's kind of the way to do it. But regardless of that, I feel like every time I have to put on a performance of any kind, I just kind of like shrivel up. And like, even if it's just family or, you know, at a family barbecue, they always tell me, oh, pull out the guitar, sing that Adele song that you always do. And I'm just kind of like, oh no, not again. But at the same time, it's one of those things that as soon as I let go and as soon as I do it, it's just, you can't shut me up. Mm. It's kind of like when I'm talking. So
open up the taps,
same sort of thing happens, but it just takes me a little bit longer to get there, I guess.
And like we were saying before we turned on the mics, it's often the performers that have that kind of nervousness and feeling of vulnerability that are actually sharing some really, really intimate thoughts and moments with us when they perform. So that's what we're looking forward to today.
Yeah, I hope I can pull that off.
I'm sure you don't even have to think about it. So I want to talk to you some more about your training and your formation and how you got to where you are today. But why don't you, is there a song that you could sort of pick off the top that... Just to illustrate a little bit what you've been talking about here.
Well, okay, so I guess I'll start off with a cover of Let Me Love You by Mario. He's an R&B, old school R&B artist. Well, old school is probably like early 2000s. I think the song came out in 2004, if I recall. But I kind of just picked up this one earlier this year, and I just been liking to play it, and it kind of shows off, I guess, my... R&B texture in a way. I mean, I sort of sing differently depending on what I sing. It's just a weird thing that happens, but I really like this tune, and I sort of just kind of made it my own. I didn't change it. It's in a male's perspective, the entire thing, so I'm going to be talking
about
it.
And you've kept that. That's really cool.
I have kept it. I feel like it's more true to the song. Yeah. I just feel like if I change it, just would kind of be a whole different story, so.
Very nice.
I'm going to hopefully do it justice, and Let Me Love You by Mario.
Okay.
Yay, ooh, yay, ooh, no, 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 yay, ooh, yay, ooh. Baby, I just don't get it. Do you enjoy being hurt? I know you smell the perfume, the makeup on his shirt. You don't believe his stories, you know that they're all lies. As bad as you are, you stick around, and I just don't know why. If I was your man, baby, you never worry about what I do. I'll be coming home back to you every night, doing you right. You're the type of woman to serve good things, fist full of diamonds, hand full of rings. Baby, you're a star, I just wanna show you you are. You should let me love you, let me be the one to give you everything you want and need. Baby, good love and protection, make me your selection. Show you the way love's supposed to be. Baby, you should let me love you, love you, love you. No. Listen, your true beauty's description looks so good that it hurts. You're a dime plus 99, and it's a shame, don't even know what you're worth. And everywhere you go, they stop and stare, cause you're bad and it shows. From your head to your toes, out of control. Baby, you know if I was your man, baby, you never worry about what I do. I'll be coming home back to you every night, doing you right. You're the type of woman to serve good things, fist full of diamonds, hand full of rings. Baby, you're a star, I just wanna show you you are. You should let me love you, let me be the one to give you everything you want and need. Baby, good love and protection, make me your selection. Show you the way love's supposed to be. Baby, you should let me love you, love you, love you. No. You should let me love you, love you, love you. Let me love you, let me love you, let me love you.
was beautiful.
Yay!
That was really, really scrumptious. Very, very nice. You created an instant mood with your song and your voice.
That's
just beautiful. Yes, you did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very tangible.
Hopefully that was like on key and in tune and
who cares? It sounded fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, very, very nice. Yeah,
I'm just
sorry that we don't have a big room full of people to give you the applause you deserve for that little performance. That was quite
Perhaps.
Lovely. Quite lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah. So where do you get your inspiration? Who are the singers that really speak to you and that you love to listen to?
It changes. I mean, I have different influences vocally and I have different influences musically.
Mm-hmm.
Vocally, my inspirations, at least growing up, were always like bigger singers like Kelly Clarkson and Christina Aguilera, like the powerhouse vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sing a lot of Mariah Carey tunes when I was like deep in my vocal training, when my voice was bigger, I guess. I haven't put into practice as much as I used to, but anyway, so those were some of my musical influences from the vocal side of things.
Yes.
And musically, I've been really loving tons and tons of artists. I like Frank Ocean right now. I listen to a lot of Ryan Adams. I like Ryan Adams too, but not so much an influence, I guess.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I'm kind of all across the map. Like, it's hard for me to put my finger on. I mean, I just like a lot of stuff.
Gather from all directions,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, yeah. Even like punk stuff. I listened to a lot of Blink-182 when I was growing up. Like, I come from all over the place. So, country too, like.
Blink-182.
Remember
when they came to the Vans? What did they call
the Vans Warped Tour, which is still going on, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, it still is. It's actually going on right now in the States.
But the one that came to Île Sainte-Hélène in Montreal, did you go to that one?
I haven't actually ever been to it. My mom was always weary of sending me there. She's like, you're going to get trampled on and you're going to die. And I don't know, but I was young at the time, but
yes.
I guess I should probably head on over there. Blink but yeah, anyway, so.
So quite a spectrum of
yeah.
A
I like a lot
broad
of old stuff.
Of
yeah, I mean, even my dad's music has influenced me a lot. I mean, I listen to a lot of Bruce Springsteen, one of my favorite songwriters for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dylan. So I'm kind of all over the place. And then the new stuff, too. I don't listen to as much radio stuff as I used to be quite honest. Not for any particular reason, but I kind of just go back to the stuff that I love more often than not. So, but I definitely have album phases. Like, I'll just listen to an album straight for, like, a week, and I'm one of those.
Yeah.
So,
but the fact that you accompany yourself so well with an acoustic guitar, your voice matches it really well. You can tell
thank
that
you.
The Dylan influence and the Springsteen influence is right there.
Yeah.
That kind of happy marriage of voice and strings is happening for sure. Do you have another little piece lined up for us that you'd like to play?
Yeah, I guess I can play an original. Should we go into that?
That
I mean,
would
we
be
didn't
fabulous,
talk
actually.
About the songwriting very much.
I didn't
but.
Dare to. Well, we can talk about it afterwards, but why don't you grace us with one of your originals? That would be fabulous.
I'm a big stickler for stories, but I guess we can talk about the story of the song after I sing it. Maybe we'll let people piece it together for themselves. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, the tune is called Winter Blues. And I wrote it, I guess it would be about a year or so ago now. It's quite an old one, so I haven't rehearsed it very much recently. But we'll see how it goes, so
okay.
I'll give it a shot. Watching over me, these weary eyes are of a red and purple sea. I need a moment of peace, good old serenity. 'Cause otherwise, your silhouette is all I see. I need to get some sleep. Yeah, I need to get some sleep. I can't just shut my eyes, I'm waiting for the sunset. I won't have dreams tonight unless it's of when we first met. And with the heaters on, it's freezing in my bed. It's not because it's winter, yeah. echo simply lingers instead. Night, I could almost guarantee it. Then flight streamed out my eyes, cause I know it's only my feelings. Cause you don't care at all. I've got it bad, but you don't care at all. I can't just shut my eyes, I'm waiting for the sunset. I won't have dreams tonight unless it's when we first met. And with the heaters on, it's freezing in my bed. It's not because it's winter, your echo simply lingers instead. Lingers instead. Head back to bed, my dear, be quiet, quiet. You'll feel just what I did, and then you'll try to fight it. Head back to bed, my dear, be quiet, quiet. In the morning it'll be fine. Stay quiet, quiet, 'cause I need to get some sleep. I'm alive, but I need some sleep. I can't just shut my eyes, I'm waiting for the sunset. I won't have dreams tonight unless it's when we first met. And with the heaters on, it's freezing in my bed. It's not because it's winter, your echo simply lingers instead. Lingers instead.
Beautiful. That's a lovely tune.
Thank you.
And well performed. Just gorgeous.
I hope so.
I have to say, you do become another person when you're singing. You're channeling some musical muse from deep
very
inside
weird,
you.
Very weird, yeah.
It's not weird. It's beautiful. But, yeah, it's just
It's a different hat that I put on, I guess. I don't really put it on. It just sort of happens, actually. It's like a weird, I don't know. Phase. No, I don't even know how to say it. I can't even describe it. It's just a mode. I don't know. Yeah. Like
very, very not part of your journalistic psyche.
No,
for sure.
Absolutely not.
Coming from a different place
different
altogether.
Things, yeah. Quite to beautiful. Me, it's yeah. It's very, very it's more of a passionate, emotive thing for me.
A deeper well that you're drawing from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I want to say shades of feist there, but I don't know. I hope you take that as a compliment.
It's interesting.
It's got some
fieriness, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I write sort of from a place of sadness and oftentimes a little bit of angst or anger too. So I guess it sort of translates when I'm singing.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into that. Your writing process and where you're drawing, obviously, from an emotional place, but also there's some intellectual work going on in terms of lyrics and telling a story. Tell us how you balance those two sides.
Well, I mean, for me, it usually starts off with some kind of melody. I don't usually write lyrics and then write to it. The melody kind of unfolds first, I would say 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm. And then you come up with lyrics to match.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things. I'm a big believer in like inspiration and letting it sort of hit you, not sort of making it happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand the circumstance when you're a musician who's actually making records, there's kind of this added pressure to create, but I kind of have always just created when I feel like it's time.
So give us an example, like what would have inspired this particular song, for example, some moment?
Well, that's it. Like a lot of my songs are actually based on true stories. Not all of them. This one's actually not an example of that. But I'm a big storyteller, and I really like country for that because country is a very, genre is all about storytelling.
They tell stories every song.
I love stories. Yeah, which is why I admire it. But this song, I guess, sort of is about a time when I was really missing someone that I had lost. But on the other side, I felt like they just absolutely were over it and they didn't really care. So it's kind of about this stage of loneliness when you've gone through losing someone, either like, you know, through death or through, in this case, it was like a breakup scenario, I guess you could say. But yeah, it's sort of about that struggle to getting over someone when they've just completely erased you out of their memory.
Oh, so that's an interesting spin. So yeah, that would amount to unrequited heartbreak as opposed to unrequited love.
Yeah, exactly. So
a very human emotion.
Yeah,
for sure.
And winter blues, I guess, just kind of encompasses. I mean, you know, in the winter we feel often a bit more lonely, I guess you could say, and it sort of just spun off of that. I wrote it in the winter, actually.
Oh yes.
I think I was just really cold. So
yes.
usually I like to play with some kind of like metaphor or simile.
It was very graphic. It was interesting. I'm cold under the blankets, but not because it's winter. Something along the way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But because the person's kind of still lingering. And it's cold because they're not actually there for you, right? Yes. So it's not like this warmth that you would feel. Anyway, I'm getting way, way deep into the symbolism of every single thing. I can go into every single line if I wanted to, but and that's probably one of my favorite songs that I've personally written. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everyone else who's heard other tunes could say the same, but I don't know. It just means a lot. And it makes me really emotional even just now. Like, not even thinking about the situation at the time. Like, that's totally gone.
The song has taken on an emotional charge of its own kind of thing.
And it's really interesting as a songwriter when you look back on, like, other tunes that you've written and you sort of see the connections to your life now. Like, you're kind of just like, oh, wow, I'm going through that again. Like, this kind of relates to me. It's like full circle.
Interesting.
So, it's it's really a lot of fun to write. And usually, you know, it's a situation that occurs that inspires me to pick up a guitar, and then out of nowhere I just have like a tune that I work with and sort of
can you look back at the songs that you've written and sort of look at them as a kind of journal or markers of your life along the way,
you
kind
know
of thing?
Yeah, it's really interesting that you say that, because prior to, I knew obviously that I was going to be singing on here, and I was kind of semi thinking about what I was going to sing. I wasn't really sure. Even today I was like, I could do this, but I could do that. And I was just going through some of my old tunes, and I was like, wow, this is literally, like, I can just go through and be like, wow, this was me in high school, this was me here, this is grade eight, this is, you know, and just kind of going through, like, oh, I know who that was about, you know, it's...
So that's a really precious record of your growing up kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I have two big songbooks at home where I basically write all the lyrics. I've always been a handwriter when it comes to songwriting. I don't know what it is. I kind of detach from technology.
Turn away from the keyboard.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It kind of...
Like, I'm maintaining my what I said earlier, that it's coming from a different part of you, of yourself,
that's it.
Right?
And for me, technology, I mean, right now I'm just kind of in a mode where I want to use my phone less. I want to use, you know, laptops and things less. But when I'm writing, and it's always been that way, it's always been just this organic thing pen and paper.
Yeah. Interesting.
Writing the tab out if there is one and just kind of letting it unfold.
But someone who writes lyrics the way you do, I mean, do you consider yourself a poet? Have you ever stopped to consider that you are putting together some...
Yeah, I do have some poetry in my songbooks, actually. Yeah, but I don't know. I guess not. I mean, perhaps. I studied a bit of poetry, like in CEGEP and stuff like that, and I really like reading poetry. But I guess lyrics, in many ways, they are poetic. Well,
yes,
I would
certainly the ones we just heard were for sure.
Yeah. So I guess maybe I would consider poetry, but it's not. I don't know.
But like you implied earlier, you're not one that relies on handles and descriptions to map your course, and you just launch out and put words on paper without thinking, oh, I'm going to write a poem now.
Yeah, so, like, that's the thing too, and for me that's also important. Like, I don't like to overthink it. I just I'm not like, what's catchy, like, what's you know, whatever tells a story, that's what I'm going to write.
So you're working from the inside out rather than the outside in.
Like, if it happens to be clever, it happens to be clever, but I'm not going to write something just for the sake of it being, oh, that's a good simile. Like, you know, it's just, it's trying too much, I think.
Well, it certainly sounds like it's coming from a spontaneous place that is flowing quite organically, I think.
I hope so. But it's been a lot of fun to songwrite, and I really want to get into it again because I haven't actually written a song in quite some time. I say that. It's been probably a few months, but...
How would you like to sing us another one that you've written?
Do you have one? I could maybe think up something right on the spot.
Okay,
I didn't actually prepare anything, but I will think about it.
Okay, that would be really great.
And
I'm putting on the spot here.
Yeah. Oh no. I mean, there's one. Try my best to avoid you, but that smile gets me in those eyes. I know you felt what I was feeling too. Time may tell what's to come, but meanwhile I won't get hung up, 'cause if I do, I know that I won't shake you away. I feel as though I really know you, but I'm being too quick in the shore. It's so far away. Oh, I'm so done with this hiding game. Gone away with the current. I know it's wrong, but I can't help it. I wasn't even looking for you, but somehow you stumbled into my room. To your face, first was a warning, but now I see the meaning behind the gaze that went on between you and I. I barely know a thing about you, but when I look at you, my heart speaks volumes and thousands of lines without the sound of your voice to my heart. I want to show my cards on the table, but I'm being too quick in the show. It's so far away. Oh, I'm so done with this hiding game. Gone away with the current. I know it's wrong, but I can't help it. I wasn't even looking for you, but somehow you stumbled into my room. I believe the fate has brought me to your face. First was a warning, but now I see the meaning behind the gaze that went on between you and I know. I wasn't even looking for you, but somehow you stumbled into my room. I believe fate has brought me to your face. First was a warning, but now I see the meaning behind the gaze that went on between you and I.
Very nice. Very,
interesting.
Very nice. Interesting.
Interesting. Okay.
So, give us your observations. Wait, come on.
My observations?
Yes. On your own performance.
That was horrifying.
And what about it exactly? Are we talking about level of performance or just where it's coming from or what?
No, I wouldn't say where it's coming from because that's more of like a happier tune. Usually yes. I'm much more...
We're going to explore the dark side.
Yeah, the dark side,
I want to get
into
that, yeah.
But, I guess just performing in general just grinds my gears. in a good and a bad way, but...
But you have to admit you're a bit of a perfectionist, I think, right?
Yeah,
And a bit of a control freak. Am I right? I'm just guessing here. You like to have everything, all the ducks lined up in a row.
I don't know about control freak, but I'm definitely a perfectionist. Like, when I'm recording myself, I kind of just, like...
Only a perfectionist control freak would argue the distinction between those two, by the way, just for the record.
I guess I tend to, like, over-listen, and then I start detecting like little things that other people probably wouldn't even pick up on.
For
like
sure,
even just as I'm singing, like I'll notice things. I'm like, crap, I shouldn't do that in the next chorus, or like, you know, something stupid like, oh, why did I do that in head voice? Why don't I do that in full voice? Anyway, but
interesting.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mental battle sometimes. But the thing is, that usually happens when I don't get into the mode, and it's easier for me to get into the mode when I'm doing a sadder song, just because I'm paying more attention to what I'm saying. As opposed to how I'm singing.
So happy songs are more taxing on you. You have to step out of your natural inclination.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, the good thing is that I don't really write happy songs very often, so...
Well, let's explore that a little bit. I mean, I was being facetious earlier, but you you allude to the darker side, even in everyday conversation, and I'm really curious about that. For such a happy-go-lucky, smiley-faced young woman, and the dark side, I mean, it's very Jungian, right? He always talks about embracing our shadow, right? And it's obviously a very rich place that you're tapping, and there's clearly I don't want to say struggle, but a good solid wrestling match going on in terms of its place that it has in your life. But
absolutely.
Is it a love hate relationship, or what's...
Well, the thing is, with the sad emotions, music has always been an outlet for me to tackle them on, and you know, let them go and let them be. Or I wrote a journal throughout high school, actually, where I would talk about things like that. But on the outside, I'm definitely, I guess I would appear sort of, or what I've been told anyhow, that I'm sort of this like happy, positive character, and I am. I really am. But on the other side of things, I feel like it's so important to like own those negative emotions and sort of take them on in order to, you know, have control over them and actually, you know, see the brighter side. So,
yes,
like,
yes.
For
so
me,
that's an intentional act that you have to sort of push,
yourself to. But it's hard for me to be sad in front of people. I just don't really let that sort of get to me. I've always been pretty good at being, like, cool, calm, collected on the outside. Not to say that, like, I go home and start crying or something, but, like, I don't know. I know that, you know, deep down, like, there are emotions that I have to deal with and things that I'm going through that I don't usually tell people about sort of keep to myself. But that's where the music kicks in, and that's where I usually get inspired. And sadness has always inspired me more than happiness. I don't know exactly why that is. I just think, I don't know, if a song doesn't really make me feel, you know, some sort of emotion. I mean, I guess you can feel happy. Like, there are songs that just make you feel happy, but I don't know. I find if it can kick me in, like, emotionally in, I guess, a negative way, if you will, that's when I know I'm like, damn, that song, that's a really good song.
That's interesting.
That's just the way that I see it. I mean, I like a lot of happy music too, like, you know, but when it comes to my own writing, it's just, my happy emotions don't fuel me as much to write lyrics. It's just kind of like, oh, that's cool, that happened. Okay, I can move on. Like, whereas if I'm going through something that's sad, in order to move on, I feel like I have to sort of evacuate it somehow.
So it really is a cathartic process. I mean, I hate to use that cliche, but it's clearly what you're describing here is... You need some meat to sink your teeth into, and it's definitely on the dark side.
And it's not always the case. I mean, there are some times where I'm sad and I kind of just let it go, and I'm like, eh, whatever. But, you know, in times of anger or, you know, frustration even, like, I can just be like, damn, I need to tell this story. Like, this story needs to be told.
Yeah,
otherwise, if I was writing songs about being happy all the time, I'd have tons and tons of songs. So, you know, that just, I guess, says something about me. Yeah. But, yeah.
It just doesn't inspire the creative process. It's,
no.
It's, you live it out, I guess. Yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Well, how would you like to play another cover for us? We'll choose one of your happier songs to...
Happier cover? Oh, God.
Do you have one?
I might have one up my sleeve. I'll have to think about it.
Maybe we could even talk you into doing an Adele song. How about that?
Someone like you is really depressing. I could sing that one, though, but I always sing that one. That's like...
Well, we want you to sing one that you enjoy singing.
I do enjoy singing that song. It's definitely overdone for me, but I don't know. It takes me back to a place, I guess.
Up to you. Up to you.
Okay, on that note, I'm going to be singing my version, I guess, of Someone Like You by Adele. It's actually one of those songs that my family often forces me to sing at barbecues and the like. So anyway, it's a tune that a lot of people know, so I thought it would be kind of fun to play it.
Great.
That you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. Oh, friend, why are you so shy? Ain't like you to hold back or hide from the light. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I'd hope you see my face and that you'll be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone. You know how the time flies. Only yesterday was the time of our lives. We were born and raised in a summer haze, bound by the surprise of our glory days. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I'd hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the sometimes it hurts instead. Nothing compares, no worries or cares, regrets and mistakes, they are memories made. Who would have known how bittersweet this would taste? Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I remember you said sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Never mind, I'll find someone like you.
That was beautiful.
Woohoo!
Lovely, lovely. Even yeah. If,
even with the fly, I guess.
That was very special.
I just wanted to join.
You wanted a front row seat. Literally. Very beautiful. Well, Christina, I have to thank you for coming in and sharing that beautiful gift with
thank
us.
Thank you.
Your lovely music, your lovely songwriting. And thank you. Your lovely performance, very, very, very special.
Hope I didn't burn anyone's ears off.
Not at all. I'm sure you inspired people all around the region listening to us this evening. So thanks again for coming in and sharing that beautiful music.
Thank you very much for having
me. Very nice. So you've been listening to Live at 6 here, coming to you live from the Review offices, 76 Main Street East in Vanclay Kill. My name is Jean Sarrazin, and we're here every week.